Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. Well, today we're going to be continuing a message that we began last time, preached by my dear friend and co-pastor at Fairview Baptist, Dan Fisher. You know, as we look in Scripture, we see some great moments. Moments like in Acts 2, where Peter preached with boldness and eloquence, and we saw 3,000 souls saved and added into the kingdom of God. But then you look a little farther in the book of Acts, and you see another great preacher, this one named Stephen. But Stephen didn't see the glory of 3,000 souls. Stephen, in fact, received, as the sermon alludes, 3,000 stones for his work. Please listen carefully and contemplate the gravity of the day and age in which we are living and the challenge before us as Christians in this message entitled, Souls or Stones?
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word.
Now catch this next phrase. Of whom the world was not worthy. These were not carnal Christians under the disciplinary hand of the Lord. These were people whose walk with God was so sincere and so pure that the Word of God says the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Well, people who the world was not worthy of got 3,000 stones. It may be stones for me. If it is, you know what I hope I'm doing the night before? Taking latitude and longitude. And getting ready for the task of the next day. It may be 3,000 souls for me. Then you know what I hope I'm doing right after that? Taking latitude and longitude. For the task of the next day. I'm on mission here. You are on mission here. You're not here by happenstance. God has a purpose for you. One of the greatest Christians any of us know anything about is a man who wrote over half the New Testament. And listen to what Paul says in Acts 20, verse 23, of his prospects for ministry. The Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and persecutions are waiting for me. Oh, goody, goody, I can't wait. What kind of ministry prospects are those? Here's just a little list of the things he experienced. He was rejected. He was kidnapped, beaten, threatened, arrested many times, accused in lawsuits. Kind of has a familiar ring to it, doesn't it? Interrogated, ridiculed, ignored, abandoned by his closest companions, by the way, which inflicts the greatest damage. Shipwrecked, bitten by a viper that should have killed him. And finally, murdered. Quite the ministry resume. I am convinced that the average Baptist church today, were they to look at Paul's resume without seeing the name, would reject him immediately as their next pastor. And yet he's one of the greatest Christians who ever lived. He's one of those ones that I'm convinced Hebrews is referring to when it says, of such the world was not worthy. But guys, for most of his ministry, it was 3,000 stones. Yeah, there were souls mixed in. But it was mostly stones. Here's another missionary to places like China, India, and as you can see, Africa. C.T. Studd. I want you to listen to what he wrote one time. He said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to give for him. If he really is who the scriptures say he is there any sacrifice, Now, we know that we aren't saved by the sacrifices we make or the good deeds that we perform. But the bottom line is, if Jesus is really who he says he is there any sacrifice too great? And yet in America, the average American Christian believe they've done God a huge favor if they just make it to church on Sunday. As if church is for him. No, our lives are for him. Church is for us. This is where we're fed. This is where we fellowship. This is where we gain the strength to face this wicked world. With this COVID mess going on, more and more have I come to understand what Hebrews 10:25 was really trying to say. I've always believed Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the assembling of the believers together as the manner of some is, but even so the more as you see the day approaching. But when we've been deprived of meeting together, you know, we'll often say, man, it'd just be good to have a Sunday off. Well, maybe every now and then a Sunday off is a good thing, but you can get too much of a good thing. And I discovered early on when we were still doing our services online, and Paul and I would set up chairs here, and I'd do my best to help him to understand things, and we'd try to get through. You got to lighten the load every now and then. I miss seeing you. Paul would comment sometimes, and he'd look at me and say, Dan, this is working out great. I'm glad we're doing it. Boy, I miss the people. And I don't just mean talking to you. I mean talking with you. One of the things I love to do is stand over there at that door and greet you as you leave, if you exit that door. Those of you who go out this way, you're lost. But anyway, those... Right, left. That's all I need to say. But really, before class, getting just to walk around and mingle, what a blessing your fellow believers are to you, whether you know it or not. And I'm telling you, it's kind of like the well story. You never miss the water till the well runs dry. What sacrifice? Coming here is a sacrifice? It's the least that I could do. This is not the ministry. This is the planning session for ministry. Back to David Livingston. People talk of the sacrifice I've made in spending so much of my life in Africa, he wrote. Can that be called sacrifice, which is simply paid back as a small part of the great debt owing to our God, which we can never repay? Is that a sacrifice which brings its own reward of healthful activity, the consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and bright hope of a glorious destiny hereafter? Away with such a word, such a view, and such a thought. It is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, or danger now and then, with a foregoing of the common conveniences and charities of this life, may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and sink. But let this only be for a moment. All these are nothing when compared with the glory which shall hereafter be revealed in and for us. I never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not talk when we remember the great sacrifice which he made, who left his Father's throne on high to give himself for us. Forbid that we should ever consider the holding of a commission from the King of Kings a sacrifice. So long as other men esteem the service of an earthly government as an honor. I am a missionary, heart and soul. God himself had an only son, and he was a missionary and a physician. A poor, poor imitation I am. But in this service, I wish to live. In it, I wish to die. I still prefer poverty and mission service to riches and ease. This is my choice. So, How do believers stand in a day like this when evil is just coming down on us? Well, as we begin to kind of look for the runway here, I want to look at this passage of Scripture. It's Revelation 12:11. The Bible talks about during the Great Tribulation that the devil is just going to open up the floodgates. It's part of God's wrath poured out on man. Part of the wrath is just man's stupid, wicked wrath on himself. And they overcame him, meaning the devil. How? How do you overcome the devil? What do you do when you're faced sometimes with stones rather than souls? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and that they did not love their lives to the death. Three things. Just write them down very quickly. Write it in that, right beside that passage or on a note paper. Here's what he's saying. These are the three things we can use even when we're facing the worst of the worst of the worst. The sufficiency of Christ, Jesus Christ, nothing more, nothing else. The sincerity of their faith. Whether your faith is real or not. It's easy enough to serve God when everything's okay. It's easy enough to call yourself a Christian when no one's making fun of you, when no one's putting pressure on you at work, when people are telling you, keep that stuff in your church. It's easy enough when there's no cost. But what's it like when there's a cost attached? And so John is telling us that we overcome wickedness first of all, with the sufficiency of Christ, knowing that it's only in Him that we could ever be anything and ever have eternal life. But secondly, the sincerity of our faith in the sufficiency of Christ. And then last, he says, in the sacrifice of our lives. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to die for the gospel, but it does mean that we're going to die for the gospel. Because Jesus said, if you're not willing to die to yourself and live to me, you're not fit to be my disciple. So whether some persecutor takes my life from me or not, my Lord has already purchased my life. Paul says, what? Don't you know you've been bought with a price? You're not your own. My life, I'm going to do this, my plans, my career. No, no, we got it all wrong. His life, his plans, his mission. But in losing myself in him, Jesus said, you find yourself. If you try to gain your life, he said, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, you will find it. So friends, I'm just telling you, as I look at the possibilities of what I may face before my life is over, my heart is not troubled. My mind is at ease. Because whether it's souls or stones, I have enough evidence, I have enough history to know that it's win-win either way. Adrian Rogers, one of my heroes of the faith, used to always say, heads I win, tails I win. When he went into the hospital the very last time, dying of colon cancer, he told his family, heads I win, tails I win. This is a win-win proposition, friends. When Bonhoeffer was getting ready to go to the gallows, he had been leading a Bible study and led a lot of those people to the Lord. In an eyewitness testimony, one of the men started to just break down and weep. And Bonhoeffer was purported to have leaned over to him and said, don't weep. This is not the end of Bonhoeffer. This is the beginning. And he marched straight to the gallows. My friends, there comes a moment in all of our lives where we have to start making some choices. Somebody has written, it is better to suffer for the cause of Christ than for the cause of Christ to suffer. I am willing to do whatever it is that God wants. I don't know exactly what God wants. But I am willing to do whatever it is that God wants to do in me. Hebrews 11 says that Moses chose to suffer the afflictions of the people of God than opting for the temporary pleasures of Egypt because he looked into eternity. I'm paraphrasing, but that's exactly what it says. And then it talks about those people that the Bible says the world was not worthy. And it says, they, having obtained a good testimony through faith, That's what I want. I want people to be able to say of me while I am here and of me when I am gone, if time continues, he had a good testimony of faith. He trusted in the sufficiency of Christ. There was sincerity in his faith. And he laid his life down as a sacrifice, either living or dead. That's what I want. The picture that you have before you is Hudson Taylor. He's one of the early great missionaries to China. In fact, he was one of the only missionaries to China. He used some very non-traditional ministry methods, things like dressing in cultural clothing of the Chinese, wearing a pigtail or a ponytail in his hair because that was the culture and the custom of the people he was trying to reach. He was ridiculed by many of those in America. He started the China Inland Mission, which continues today under another name, but it's still the same ministry. But he went to China as a young man in 1853. And he had decided that he was going to give it all. And he practically did. He lost his health. 4 of his 8 children and his 33-year-old wife died on the mission field. He faced hardships that most of us cannot imagine, and most of us would just shrivel up and die if we faced. And he stood tall. And he wrote, "I am no longer anxious about anything, as I realize that he is able to carry out his will for me. It does not matter where he places me or how. That is for him to consider, not me. For in the easiest positions, he will give me grace. And in the most difficult ones, his grace is sufficient." Many Christians estimate difficulties in the light of their own resources and thus attempt little and often fail in the little they attempt. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his power and presence with them. So Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 5, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And then in 2 Corinthians 4 verses 8 through 10, we are hard pressed on every side. Most of them would say, "Good Lord, God must not be with us. We're hard pressed on every side. God can't be with it." No. "Yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And after you have suffered a little while, Peter says, "The God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." So does it really matter whether it's souls or stones, as long as we're exactly where God wants us to be? It does not. Now, I'd rather glide out of here on a bed of ease and die in my sleep a day after Paul does, so I can witness that and then I am the meanest guy I believe there's ever been. I want the bed of ease like everybody else. I want to die in my sleep and open my eyes in heaven. But that may not be God's plan for me. But here's the one thing I am confident of. Whatever God's plan is for me, it's the right plan. And he has the power to see me through it. And that my job is to be salt and light. And salt doesn't do a whole lot of good if there's not some decay laying around somewhere. And light isn't very useful if there's not some darkness around. So I figure if I want to be salt and light, God is going to place me around decaying stuff and areas where it's dark. I shouldn't be surprised. Now let's go back to Stephen here as we wrap it up. The Bible says as he fell to the ground, those who were watching, and we know this by eyewitness testimony because one of the ones watching was a man named Saul. And it just could be. It just could be, though the Bible does not say that the reason Stephen got the 3,000 stones is God was prepping Saul. Because Saul becomes Paul. And they said that his face became like that of an angel. Now, I don't exactly know what the face of an angel would look like, but apparently his face started to glow with this holy glow that they could not mistake for anything but divinity. And then as he is falling to the ground, asking God not to lay this sin to their account, I'd be saying, God, I hope they all burn in hell. Take them now. That's what I'd be praying. How about you? He's praying that God will forgive him. Then the Bible says something that it doesn't say anywhere else till Jesus returns. Stephen looked up into the heavens. And the Bible says God rolled the heavens back, and there was Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Now, the Bible tells us that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. This is the only biblical reference of Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I don't know, but I think this is what happened. The angels are singing with the music, and Jesus says, shh, shh. And they stop. And those angels around Stephen are ministering to him in ways that we cannot even imagine. And so near to him that his face takes on this holy light. And then Jesus stands in honor of this man getting 3,000 stones. And I can almost see Jesus. And all of heaven begins to applaud as this godly man goes down under the load. Now you're telling me that's losing. You're telling me that's failure. You're telling me that's something to dread. My friends, that is glory. So whether it's 3,000 stones or 3,000 souls, it doesn't matter, does it? Fox's Book of Martyrs tells about a man who's being persecuted and tortured. And they would torture him, and then they would stop for a minute. And then they would torture him. He lived through it. And he said, every time they would start torturing me, I was actually anxious for the torture to continue. And they said, what? He said, I was actually disappointed when they would stop. They said, what do you mean? And he said, because the minute they would start torturing me again, there was this person standing beside me with this cool water and would place it upon my brow. And I never felt at more ease and peace in all of my life. And then when they would stop, he would leave. And then they would start back and he would reappear. You know, the Bible says that when Jesus would have these moments of terrific burdens and all placed upon him, that the angels would come and minister to him. That's what was happening to that guy. Who's to say that when Bonhoeffer walked up those steps to that gallows, there weren't angels walking right up beside him? Who knows? Well, let me close with probably one of the best stories I've ever heard in my life. This is William Borden. He's of the very famous Borden family. Millions and millions they are worth. William Borden was born into this wealthy family. And as a young man right after high school, his father sent him on a world tour for the company. And as he toured the world, he started to see the plight of all these different peoples. And he became burdened that God was calling him to the mission field. Well, everybody had plans for William. William was going to take over the family business. and all of the wealth and assets of the Borden Empire. And now he wants to be a missionary? So he began to be ridiculed, and he wrote in his Bible, no reserves. Well, he went to Yale University, and while he was there, he felt just compelled by God to prepare himself to go to China and minister to the Kansu people who are Muslim. Now, that's a brutal ministry. And so he gave himself to it, and he wrote in his Bible, when God had confirmed this, no retreats. Well, once he finished his graduate studies at Yale and then went to Princeton Theological Seminary, once he was done, he went off to Egypt to learn the Arabic language of these Muslim people that he's going to be ministering to. He hadn't been there but just a few weeks, and he got spinal meningitis. And in just a few days, 25-year-old William Borden was dead. His biographer, Mary Taylor, wrote this. A wave of sorrow went round the world. He not only gave away his wealth, but himself. In a way so joyous and natural that it seemed a privilege rather than a sacrifice. But many bewailed the fact that this young man had thrown his life away. All of this promise, all of this wealth, all of this power, and he had thrown it away on some stupid mission field somewhere, just 25 years of age. But just a few hours before he died, he opened up that Bible where he had made these two entries, and he made one last entry, no regrets. No regrets. Friends, I'm telling you, that's how I want to finish my race. No reserves, I'm not holding anything back. No retreats, I'm not turning and running. And at the end of this race, no regrets. So it doesn't matter whether it's 3,000 souls or 3,000 stones, friends. Whatever God has for you, whatever God has for me, we can glorify Him right in the middle of it.
We thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.